Good morning, church. It's good to be here. It's good to be with you. I will apologize in advance. I have quite the cold, and so I'm going to sound a little weird this morning, but it's still me, and I love Jesus, and I love you. So here we are together. Let's pray as we go to the Word. Jesus, thank you for your presence. Just as Terry prayed, Lord, you give us your presence, and it's so good. And Lord, you will also give us your word. And I thank you that every time that we turn to your word, you speak to us. So today, Lord, we open up our hearts to you. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning is a very exciting and pivotal morning in the life of our church. And you came in here and you may not have known that, but I'm telling you, get ready. It's an exciting and pivotal moment for us because I have a big announcement to make, but that's going to be shared over the course of the message this morning. So as you know, many of you know, over the past 3 months, we have been digging into our understanding of what is our foundation? Who are we as a movement? And who are we as a local church? And today is actually the last in our sermon series on what we believe. And as we come to the message today, I want to tell you about our very beginnings as a movement. So back in the early 1900s, there was a young teenage girl. Her name was Amy. And she was actually from Ontario. And she felt called at that very young age to go out and to reach the lost. She moved to China with her husband. And they began, they wanted to go, and they just, where can we go? How can we preach Jesus to our world? And so that's where they began, but then sadly her husband passed away and Amy moved back, and she actually ended up in the United States. And she traveled throughout the states, throughout the country, attending crusades, leading crusades, leading prayer meetings and revival meetings. She had an incredible healing ministry where the Lord just healed the people that came to these meetings. And she did a lot of street ministry. She ended up in Los Angeles. And in 1923, she began the Foursquare Church, of which we are a part. And so the first Foursquare Church in Los Angeles is actually called Angelus Temple. And on the cornerstone of that church building, there's an inscription that reads, "Dedicated unto the cause of international and worldwide evangelism." So from the beginning, from the very beginning, our focus as a church and our focus as a movement has been evangelism. So that brings us to today's message, all about reaching the lost with the hope of Jesus. I want you to listen to our strong statement of faith on evangelism. It says, "We believe that seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved and that the end of all things is at hand, the redeemed children of the Lord Jehovah should rise and shine forth as a light that cannot be hid, a city set upon a hill, speeding forth the gospel to the ends of the earth, girding the globe with the message of salvation, declaring the burning zeal and earnestness, the whole counsel of God, that when the Lord of glory shall appear, they shall be found standing, with their loins girded about with truth, their activities and ministry laden down with the wealth of jewels they have won and guarded for him. The precious souls, whom by their faithful testimony they have been instrumental in leading from darkness into light, that soul winning is the one big business of the church upon the earth, and that therefore every weight and hindrance which would tend to quench the flame or hamper the efficiency of worldwide evangelism should be cut off and cast away as unworthy of the church, detrimental to the most sacred cause of Christ, and contrary to the great commission by our Lord." Wow, that's a statement, right? My favorite part is that soul winning is the one big business of the church. Man, if we aren't about winning souls, bringing people to Jesus, then we have missed it at some point. The big business is bringing the lost to Jesus. From the beginning, our church movement has been about evangelism and outreach. It is in our DNA. But more than it just being a Foursquare thing, let me tell you, this is a Jesus thing. Jesus is about winning the lost. This is at the very heart of who Jesus is and who he called every follower of his to be, a people who reach out and make a big deal about him. Let's make a big deal about Jesus. Think about Jesus when he first called his followers. What did he say to them? Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will send you out to fish for people. Jesus invited them to continue their journey of faith with him. He wanted to go deeper with them. He wanted to spend more time with them. He wanted them to be by his side. He called his followers into a loving relationship with him. But then as he journeyed with them, he continued to lead them with intentionality. And that looked like the plan that he had for them. It wasn't haphazard, it was intentional. It was a time of equipping because he wanted them to grow. He wanted to stretch them. He wanted to see miracles in their lives and also through the ministry that they had. And so he taught them to be missional, to look out, to reach out into their world, to contribute to the mission that he had called them to. He put them to work, knowing that when he left, they would continue on. They would keep the church going. And that mission is passed on to us. We have a job to do. We have work to do because our world desperately needs Jesus. Jesus saw this from the beginning, and he spoke of the need throughout his time of ministry on earth. Jesus looked out at the world, and he identified the situation that the world and his followers were facing. And then he also gave us the solution. And so we're going to look at that. What did Jesus say the situation was when he looked out and saw the world? And what was the solution? So let's look at what Jesus identified first as the situation. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, Jesus said this, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And again in John 4, verse 35, Jesus says, "Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Jesus said the harvest is ripe, the harvest is plentiful, the fields are ripe for harvest. So what's he talking about here? What's all this harvest talk about? Well, in our dictionary, if you were to look up the word harvest, it means the process of gathering in crops, right? When the fields are ready, the harvesters go out and they gather in the crops. And it's not a one-time job. I grew up in farmland. This is not like you go out, you do it once and you're done. This is an ongoing process of bringing in. Because once that set of crops are in, the harvesters go back. They go back out and they prepare and they bring in the next set of crops, and on it goes. In the Bible, the word harvest references the lost, those who don't yet know Jesus. And it's their gathering in and being introduced to Jesus. And when we look into our world, we can see that this isn't a one-day-only job. Man, our jobs would be easy if it was a one-day-only thing. Go out, gather, let's go to the harvest, let's gather them in, and then we're done. No, this is an ongoing process of harvesters, those of us who know Jesus, going out into our world, our neighborhood, our friends, our family, even strangers, and bringing them to Jesus. I love it, Lainey. I'm going to put you on the spot for a moment. But she told me a testimony of this last week where she was at Walmart and noticed a family. And through a conversation, she actually went back and intentionally stepped into conversation with them and invited them to church. And what I love, Lainey, about what she said is standing at Walmart, she looked across the street and she said, "See that cross on that building over there?" Which is our church. It's on top of the building. She's like, that's my church. Come on Sunday. I'd love to see you there. That's what it means, right? To be intentional, to go out as harvesters and to bring in the harvest, introducing people to Jesus. So the situation that Jesus identified is that there's a harvest for us and it's ready. It's ripe. So what are we going to do about it? Oftentimes, I believe that we as followers of Jesus, we kind of shrink back from being the harvesters that God has called us to be. And that's why Jesus said there was a need for more, right? He said the workers are few, so pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more workers into the fields. It wasn't that there weren't any available people. It was the lack of willingness that was part of the situation that Jesus is identifying here. There's people, but are they willing to go out into the harvest? And I think that that's because sometimes when we hear the word evangelism, we sometimes think it's like a bad word. We're scared of this term, evangelism. You have to evangelize. Or if someone were to say, are you an evangelist? I know, John, you would say, yes, I am. And you'd be excited. Come on, let's go. But that's not the natural response that all of us have, right? We think that evangelism is this big, scary thing. I can't do it. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But all that being an evangelist is, or all that evangelism is, being a harvester, is telling others what you already know about Jesus. Do you know that Jesus loves you? If you go and tell someone who doesn't yet know that, hey, Jesus loves you, you just evangelized. You just shared the good news, a little bit of that good news. We need to take the scary away and be dedicated to worldwide evangelism. And guess where it starts? Right here in our hometown, right here in Nanaimo. The situation is that there's a harvest, there's work to be done. And the solution, let's hear what Jesus has to say about that. It comes straight from him. He tells us how we are to harvest, and his words are found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 39. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Church, when we follow Jesus' commands here, the natural outflow is a willingness. I think we could even say there's an excitement to go out and to bring in the harvest. First, we are commanded to love God with everything we are, with our heart, with our soul, with our mind. Our first love is God and only him. We love him, we follow him, we keep him first, always. And then he tells us to love others. Love our neighbors as ourselves. And who is our neighbor? That's a question that's actually asked in the Bible. Well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells a story. But what I will tell you today from that story is that your neighbor is everyone you see. Every person that you see. Those who are like you. Those who are not. Those who are easy to love. We like those neighbors. But the ones who aren't so easy to love, they are also our neighbors. Those that you work with, those that you interact with when you go to the mall, those that you sit next to at school, the ones that you really like and the ones that you don't really like. Jesus tells us to love them. From our great love for him flows a love for others. And what is the greatest form of love? What is the greatest form of love that we can show to someone who doesn't yet know Jesus? It's to introduce them to Jesus, the one who laid down his life for them. So the situation is that the harvest is ready. And the solution, my friends, is love. Maranatha Church, became a chartered church with Foursquare over 40 years ago. And over those 40 years, there have been many seasons. And some of you have been here from the beginning, and some of you have only been here for a few weeks. But as all of you know, we are in a new season right now. And we have a bright future. God has very big plans for us as a church. And for the past few months, Tyler and I have been praying, as has our church council and our leadership team here at the church. And I'm actually going to ask them all to stand. So if you are on our church council or on our staff, would you just stand up this morning? And there's also Stephanie. She's upstairs, I believe, with the kids. But this is our leadership team at the church. You guys can have a seat. But we've been praying for the last few months about what does the future hold for us as a church? Where is God leading us and where is he taking us? And so we took time to pray and to wait on the Lord. And as we did, we began to hear this similar messaging that Nanaimo is ripe for harvest. And so as we began to pray more specifically into those words, I was particularly struck by the irony that according to our most recent census results, Nanaimo is the least churched city in all of Canada. That's shocking. That's shocking. There's been a lack of harvest in Nanaimo for whatever reason that is, and I believe that God is saying, we believe that this is the season for harvest. It's time for the lost to be found and brought in and introduced to Jesus. The harvest is ripe, and all of us are the workers. We are called into the world to be those who connect the lost to their Savior. We are called to be harvesters. So how does the harvest happen? Everything that we do, as I said, comes from our love for God and our love for others. When we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, we know that then that outflow is loving others. And it is our love for God and for others that compels us to reach out to the lost and bring them to Jesus. Jesus has already prepared the way, and I think we need to remember that. Jesus has already called the lost. He has prepared them. He has prepared hearts. That's why he can say the harvest is ready, because he knows the hearts. We just get to join him on mission to always take that next step. And so through prayer and discussion and seeking the will of God and his leading, we are very excited today to announce that in this new season, we are renaming the church and we are walking forward with a new mission. Everyone take a deep breath. The new name of our church is Harvest Church, and our mission statement is loving God and loving others. And there it is. Come on. Harvest Church, because it is time for harvest. It is time for us as a church to go into our city with intentionality and introduce the lost to Jesus. It is time for a gathering in. It is time for that statistic to change, that Nanaimo is the least churched city in Canada. To man, there's a revival happening in Nanaimo. Have you heard about it? It's time. It's time for the lost to come to know their Savior. And it's time for us as a church and as individuals to step out and love others in the way that Jesus has called us to. And so I know this is big news. It's big news. And while you process, and trust me, it will take time to process. We've had some time. Our leadership team has had some time. And still I'm shaking. It will take time to process, but as you do, I want to encourage you to just be patient with us and also anticipate good things. Over the next few weeks, you're going to begin to see some changes as we get new signage installed around the building, a new website up and running. There's going to be lots of updates here and there. And as you see them, and as you process, I invite you to get excited about the future. I invite you to step into the new direction that God is leading us. And I also invite you to invite others to the church that you already love that's beginning a new season. Yes. Church, the harvest is all about love. I want us to listen to these words of Jesus from John chapter 15, starting in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Worship team, would you come? Love each other. We have a world filled with people, a city filled with people who Jesus already knows, who Jesus loves, but some of those people still need to be introduced to Jesus. They need to be introduced to him. We know that without Jesus, we are lost, and we cannot experience true peace and hope and joy and love. But with Jesus, we are free. When one who is lost comes to Jesus, when they come to his open arms, they are freed from a past that was painful. If you know Jesus and you follow him today, you know that to be true. My past is gone. The new has come. Jesus laid down his life so that we could be free. He laid down his life so that we could truly know what love is. He laid down his life so that we could be with him in eternity, with no sin, with no shame, and no condemnation. And today, if you don't know Jesus yet, here we are talking about introducing people to Jesus. If you don't know him yet, if you haven't chosen him as your own personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now, because it's important. It's the most important decision that you will ever make in your entire life, is choosing to follow Jesus and saying, he is my Savior, he loves me, and I want to follow him. So that if that's you today, we're just going to pause here for a moment. If you want to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, then I just ask you to raise up your hand and I'll pray for you today. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Amen. His gift is love. And as Harvest Church, what a privilege it is going to be for us to get to share that love with others. Jesus, because of his great love, changes everything. Church, let's pray for a moment, and then we're going to worship together. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you, God, that you see each one of us. You know us so well, and you love us. Thank you, Jesus, that it is out of that love that you laid down your life so that we could live. Thank you, Jesus, that you defeated sin and death and that we can walk forward in wholeness. And thank you, Jesus, that you have a plan for the lost. Thank you, Jesus.